Hey, happy new year, everybody. What a great weekend to kick off together. The first of the year right here, we're in here worshiping together. This is as it should be, right? This is what we should be doing. You know, I said at the end of the year, I probably need to be a little bit more structured in it. I often invite you, and I'm inviting you right now, into the church, into the kingdom of God through the local church. And we always talk about, I say, if you'll give us 1 year of your life, I promise you, not only will that be the best year, but the years after that will continue to grow and continue to acclimate. And so I feel like I need to tell you what that is. So this month, what that looks like is you're here right now, you're worshiping. You came in and you worshiped with us. We're here during the word, time of delivering God's word. I'm going to break it down, this series, as more of like a conversation, more of a teaching rather than a preaching. But then there's also times of prayer. And so times of prayer at the end, there's a response time. It's a time when you hear from the Lord. You've actually encouraged the Lord to be here through worship. We exalted him. And then through the word, we hear a corrective or addressing or an encouraging word. And then it is a time of response. And that's where you actually then hear from the Lord. We do that every Sunday. That's what I'm inviting you into. But beyond that, we also have next steps each month. Next steps is how you get plugged into not only the church, but how you get plugged into knowing your spiritual gifts and an opportunity, a place, a safe place to use those spiritual gifts. The church is here as an entity to be the light of the world, to mobilize the kingdom of God. We are the bride of Christ, but we're not for ourselves. We're for, actually, to edify one another to actually reach the lost world and to bring a great kingdom impact in the lost world. So I told you three things we've done. Now four is next steps. Next steps is you discovering who you are so that you can make a difference in this world. That's very important. You need that because you start to get involved in a team of people who are on the same path as you, the same journey as you. So those are four things now. Now, we also, Allie gave you and my wife gave you an opportunity to tithe. That is a routine thing for someone who says they are a Christian. Christian is someone who follows the practices, follows Jesus Christ. A Christian is saved, and they follow their Savior. They follow the teachings of their Savior. And their Savior also teaches us that we are to give back to the Lord. You can read this in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. The patterns are consistent all the way through. So tithing is a spiritual next step as well. But it's also a discipline that we just do, trusting the Lord. It shows that we trust the Lord. Another thing that we're doing right now in January is bringing in a first fruits offering. These are all part of a spiritual journey that I invite every person into each year and throughout the year so that you will understand how God operates in your life. You will grow in spiritual maturity. And when you grow, the body grows, and then more people come to Christ, and we are truly the light of the world. So I've told you several things. And so next steps is important. Tithing is very important. Responding to God is important. Worship is important. Hearing the word is important. I'm also now, and first fruits offering is also very important. Here's biblically how that happened. It's typically around the springtime that would take place. Farmers, there would be a crop, and farmers would bring in the first fruits of the crop. But here's what they would do instead of starting to eat it and live off of it. They would say, I'm giving this back to you, God. I'm giving you all of the initial increase because I'm going to trust you for the latter harvest, the abundant harvest, that the latter is better than the former, that the future abundance is greater than the abundance I currently have. Do you see the spiritual overtones that come through with a first fruit offering? So whatever you have, you could settle for that, and God would be fine with that. Or you could say, you know what, I'm going to trust you for the more in the future, for the things that I don't quite understand, but I'm trusting you that you know what I need beyond what I know I need, and I'm going to trust you for those, and I'm bringing in a first fruit offering as a testament to my trust in you for what you can do. So we do that at the beginning of the year, end of the year and the beginning of the year. We're saying, I'm believing for the better, even better year than what you gave me last year, and I'm putting my money where my mouth is on that. I'm putting my heart, because where your treasure is, so too is your heart. So I'm plugging my heart into the kingdom of God so that I can receive from you. You with me? Here's another thing that we're doing right now. Right now we're doing 21 days of prayer and fasting. And so in that 21 days of prayer and fasting, We have a devotion that you can QR code in. You can tap the little circle on the back side of your seat or the seat in front of you, and you can join us in that devotion every day. And then we'll also send you a video every day, either 6 p.m. or 6 a.m., whatever you choose. And so you'll have those things. We're praying, but then fasting is a part of spiritual, it's just a part of spiritual maturity. It's a spiritual discipline, as Scripture, as we would call it. It's a discipline for someone who says they follow Christ. And it's a very healthy thing. It realigns you with the Spirit of God, with the voice of God, with the ways of God. It says, I'm denying my flesh and my personal desires, my human desires. Your soul is not going to like it, I promise you. You're going to see how soulless you are through times of fasting, but your spirit man is going to revive and become a little bit more feeling clean and a little pure. You're going to feel closer to the Lord. That's the purpose in fasting, but you're also going to start to hear from the Lord and learn what it means to hear from the Lord. Now, I gave you a lot of things that are just part of our spiritual journey that I invite you, we invite you into, your leadership does at Thrive, into for each year. And each year, if you actually do these things, you will begin to live your best life ever. And I can put my money where my mouth is as well, because, man, if you do all those things and at the end of the year your life is not better, I will give you your money back. That, you can't find that in the Bible, but I have so much trust in the Lord, and I have so much testimony with the Lord. I have so much experience with the Lord in doing these things that I am asking, I am encouraging, I am imploring you to do, not for me, for you and the body of Christ, because I want to see Christ return to an unblemished bride. And I want to do life with people who are truly following the Lord and wanting to put together and put into place spiritual disciplines for their lives. This is what you get in the church in general in the kingdom of God. For New Year's Eve, for about 5 to 7 minutes, I turned on national TV thinking I'm going to watch the ball drop with my son. I felt the most disgusting 5 to 7 minutes I felt in a very memorable amount of time. This is what the culture is offering some things to you, and many are plugging into that. And you most likely don't know it, but you're spiritually depleted if you're connecting into the things that are contextually on national TV. It's disgusting. It's been so long since I've watched it, it didn't take me long to realize how disgusting and what culture is offering. And so we're offering, the church is offering you something completely different that's actually going to grow you, better your life, and the generations. I come from a line of someone had to make the change and make a decision different. But I come from now a line of kingdom builders, people who will do whatever it takes, will expend themselves for the sake of God's kingdom. My grandfather made that shift. He always told us, he came from nine children, and he said, even the poor people called us poor. But that doesn't define the individual of who they are or what their future will be. He began to be very diligent. He and his brother chose to be very diligent, very hard workers, and yet put their faith to everything that they did. And he, my grandfather, was a kingdom builder, meaning he used the money that he gained from his hard work, understanding that it all belongs to God, and he greatly contributed to his local church and the international church. I didn't know this whenever I was a child, but later, about 32 years later, 33 years later, when I started following the Lord for about 6 or 7 years, the Lord started putting it in my heart to go to a Latin American community, a Latin American country, to do missions in a Latin American country. And that country was Honduras. And when I started talking with my mother about doing that, I found out that when I was born, my grandfather helped plant a church in Honduras. Now, how does that just work naturally? It's a supernatural, multi-generational blessing that my grandfather said, poverty will not define me. I will be a kingdom builder, and I will build a legacy. I will put my hard work and my time towards diligent things that will produce so that I can be a producer for the kingdom of God. Do you see that? And I watched my mom live that life, and I live that life today. My prayers in the middle of the night is, Lord, use me, stretch me out, pour me out onto in any way that you choose and use me for whatever it is that you want me to do and put my hands to any work that you want me to do so that I can provide for your church and your kingdom. These are my prayers. And every time life starts to get a little bit contentious and difficult and challenging, it's because my flesh is rising up and getting in the way, and I ask him yet again to pour me out, to squeeze me under the wine press, to help me, put me, remove the chaff, remove everything that is in the way from me completely being sold out for you and do it all over again, Lord. What I just told you is a very biblical principle. When you start to look at the wine press, when you start to look how God produces extra virgin olive oil from olives, how he produces is pressing. But we have a response. You have a response. I have a response to how I am going to allow that to take place, because that's why spiritual practices are so important. That's why we invite you to these spiritual disciplines that we allow, that we bring into the journey of Thrive Community Church. And that's why we talk about the things that we talk about at Thrive Community Church, because we know we are here to be the light of the world, but we are not here for us. We are here to expand the kingdom of God, and these are the ways that God chooses to do these things. Now, we've talked about all of these things, but all of these things cause us to have our first things first, the true first things, what really matters in this world, and those are defined by God's word. They seem confrontational to the world, but the problem is the world is lost. And so if it seems a little bit confrontational, it's because there's part of me that's more attached to the world than it is to the king of this world. And I mean God. And so I have to fight to detach from culture and from this world. And so I have to learn what is important to put first. And so it all starts with time. Because time is a very short, very finite thing. You don't get as much as you want, and when you think you had it when you're young, you get older and you wish you had more, and there's all these things. You're rushing through life when you're young, and later on in life, you're like, man, I wish I had those years back, but you don't get time backwards. You only get it forwards, but somehow, Scripture tells us, he talks about, and we'll get there, that it can be redeemed as well. So how does all this really work? And so we have to understand that time is a gift from God. It is not owed to us. It is a tool for obedience. How we will use it causes or responds to our heart of obedience. It is also a test of our priorities. Because what we put first and how we align our schedule will dictate where our heart really is. It will start to show what we deem as important and valuable to us in our lives, in our world, in our stream of living. So time, we have to understand, is given by God. Let me pull this up real quick. It's given by God. And the more we understand that time is given by God, the more we'll realize it's not ours to own, but to steward. And the more things we start to discern and understand that we are stewards and not owners of anything, the more we'll start to care for something that belongs to another. Scripture tells us too, and I was thinking about this as I was walking. We went on a trip recently, and I kept seeing this piece of trash every time I came back to our condo. And every time I kept seeing it, I kept thinking about it, and I kept focusing on that. I'm like, why do I keep focusing on this trash? And a scripture came up. And it says, if you won't take care of another's, then how will God ever give you yours? And that trash is not mine, nor is that property mine. But the fact that I have a willing heart to take care of what belongs to someone else will prove and dictate and show to God that I'm able and I have good stewardship, that he can entrust me with my own. You see that? See, time belongs to God, so how will you steward what belongs to God? All the things that we're going to talk about, by the way, in this series, you may not want to show up again, are reflecting that we are not in control, that it all belongs to God, and we are stewards of what belongs to him, and so we really need to be careful with what the position in which we put things. So today we're talking about time, and so we have to understand it's not owned by us, it's managed by us, it's stewarded by us, but we know also that Scripture says, Ecclesiastes, you've heard this 1,000 times, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. So there's a time for things. So we have to, with the wisdom of God and by the Spirit of God and listening to God, what is the time for right now, and how do I order my time? What season am I in the body of Christ, in my spiritual journey? We are always in a spiritual journey, so our decisions need to be made based on the time we are in within our spiritual journey of walking with the Lord. Walking with the Lord and always growing with the Lord. So time originates with God, not with culture, not with our desires, not it doesn't even originate with our calendars, nor our ambitions. Because our ambitions, a lot of times, especially if we have a lot of desires, unhealthy desires or ambitions, will turn into conflict with what God's desires are. So we have to be very careful of those things. We don't create time, we receive time. And we have to think about that. Well, I just need to make more time. No, you receive what you get and you steward it. We all have the same amount of time. So we all have to have the same amount of understanding that there are same standards put to our time. So the only differentiation is what we choose to do with that time. And God begins to bless stewardship, and he blesses what we put in that timeline of our lives first, as first things first. So with this understanding, if I want my time to be blessed and what I do with my time to be blessed and my time, anything that comes out of my time to be blessed, the first thing I need to put in my time is anything that God has on his heart for my time. I need to spend time with him first. And if God is the giver of time, then rushing past him, which we often do in busyness, it's not just busyness, it's misalignment. So God has a time for the growth and what it takes. Whenever a tree doesn't get to decide how fast it grows its fruit, it has to go with the time that God has allotted. Our journey is the same way. We have to continue to patiently pursue and seek and be with and petition and all the spiritual practices that I mentioned. Those are the things that is our responsibility to steward and to practice as discipline in God's time, his process of growing the fruit in our lives. So our only controllables are applying disciplines or practicing and stewarding what he's given us. He produces the fruit in our lives as we are diligent with what matters to him. So we have to understand stewardship is very important. Now, this is a cluttered hot mess of a house, right? And nobody would really intentionally want to design their house to look like that. But sometimes the house of our lives start to look like that. Sometimes the internal clutter starts to get a little overwhelming and a little bit all bunched up. And sometimes it's hard for us to let go of some things. And so it all just feels like life literally starts to fall in on us, right? It's just one bad decision after the next, and then not correcting the previous bad decision. It's that thing of, I didn't take the time to clean up or to do or to pay attention to. And while we may look really good on the outside, some of us look like this on the inside. And while we have really good intentions in the beginning of the year, sometimes our schedule starts to look like this as well. Well, God has given us an opportunity to be good stewards. And so we have to learn how to steward. If I'm going to build a house, I'm going to have a vision of what I want that to look like. I'm going to have some ideas of the character, the nature, the feel, what I like. It's what draws attention, makes me happy to come home to, right? It brings a value to me. And most likely, I'm also going to build it in such a way where I can bring value to other people. Other people can come in and enjoy it. I can have a space for me. I can have a space for the kids can have their own space. Maybe my spouse can have their space and I can have some space. But then we have these collaboration spaces, these places where we make memories together. Or there's these places where we have small groups of people come over, we host, and we have a good time. Like, you start to really architect what your house is going to look like. Like, this term is my forever home. You start, nobody designs a forever home to look like the first picture I showed you. So you put some time, you put some attention, you put some heart into it. You think about it, you ponder it, you look over it, and you wonder through it. You may even imagine yourself having conversations with people in different places. I know, right, Teresa? I've been to her house. You can see there is an architect all the way through this. Like every moment, every little detail, every place, every little space has an opportunity for an Instagrammable moment, literally. And I'm not kidding you. But you start to think through that, through life like that, right? I think that's good stewardship. I think that reflects the nature and the character and the heart of God, because he is a master creator. And you've been created by God for what? To be creative. To bring God creative things into this earth, not just for you, but for the sake of others to also enjoy. This is our human nature design, our God nature. This is the nature that he's placed inside of us as we follow him. Proverbs literally tells us in 24, through wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Wisdom and knowledge. We have to understand, we don't get time back, we get it forward. And Psalms teaches us this: teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So wisdom helps us to really bring creativity and structure and design to a place that we really would love to be, to experience, to rest in, to call forever, to invite other people in. And then Psalms tells us to number our days. It's stewardship. Teach us to steward well our time so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So there's something in there that is showing us that if we will allow God to teach us, if we'll be diligent stewards, spending time with God first, and take from our time with God a good idea of how to structure our calendars and what to put into the rooms of our calendar. Are you with me? Is somebody following me today? If we'll start to sit down with God and make him priority in our time, we may understand, we start to find wisdom, we start to gain wisdom, and God starts to bless our decisions, he starts to bless our growth, he starts to cause fruit. The things that we work so hard and labor for, he starts to cause the fruit to grow on the vines and the trees and the branches of our lives. And then all of a sudden, because all we did was put first things first of time with God, and how we're going to use that time for godly principles and godly things, watch. The byproduct is growth and a fruitful life. Really good. But time reveals priorities. And we say we value God, but the truth is our calendar tells us what we value. So what you start off with, which is why we start off with 21 days of prayer and fasting, is which is why God says, bring in the tithes and offerings and the first of all of your income. It's saying you're first, God. My trust is in you. My finance, the provision of my life is in you. You are my provider, not this job, not this workplace, not this business I own. No, no, you, Lord, are my provider. First things first. And when do we do it? Immediately, in the beginning, as soon as you get it. First things first, time. How am I going to structure my 12 months that I get? We all get 12 months this year. Hallelujah. Some months, we actually get 29 days in February, but that's the only variance, and that's not this year. But you have 12 months. I just gave you some pieces, some spiritual disciplines of what we encourage you and invite you into as our spiritual journey at Thrive. There's many other things and other places you can do. Here's what we're doing. Here's what we've seen the Lord bless and watch through his word that this is what he's doing. 20, what are you going to do with your time? What are you going to do in your calendar? Are you not planning your calendar? Wisdom says, we just read it, to tell us. God says, teach us to number our days. God wants to help us to structure our days. I can tell you right now, I've got all of 2026 already planned. I had it planned out in December. I know exactly what I'm going to do throughout each month, and then I break it down, in the year. I break it down in months, and I work backwards into weeks and days. I've got gaps. I've got fun times. I've got business times. I've got church times. I've got relationship times. I've got the schedule of the church. I order my schedule according to the schedule of the church because of I want to continue to grow. I put the spiritual journey of the church's calendar into my life. I order things within it and around it, and I make it priority. And God begins to shape the priorities of my life because in the directions of the areas of the things that he wants to bless, because he understands that I'm willing to pour my life out for what builds his kingdom. So I take each year the 20% of the things that actually cause the most fruit, and I spend 80% of my time on it the next year, and I give 20% gap of margin so he can do whatever new he wants to do inside of my life. And I've learned to do this as a blessed discipline and structure because I watch God bless my life over the years. You can start today. It's the beginning of the year. You have a fresh start to put first things first. I'm not saying you have to do everything, all of these things, but you have to start somewhere. And there's a simple track that your church is inviting you to be a part of and to be on throughout this year. Hebrews 12:1, what slows us down? It tells us, and run, let us run the race with endurance, or run with endurance the race that is set before us. There's a race that's already been set before you today. The Lord has put a race before you. You know what? Before this, it says, so let us lay down every sin and anything that so easily entangles us. Watch this. Whenever you start to follow the Lord and you start to follow the path of the Lord, there's going to be things, thoughts, distractions that rise up. Sin is one of those things that starts to rise up. When you start to focus on sin in life, or maybe even the trash that's on cultural TV or cultural social media, when you start to focus there, watch. Your spirit will begin to get exhausted from the things of God. So what it's doing is those are trash, those are things that are stealing and robbing energy, robbing joy, they're robbing passion from things that are actually going to cause your life to be blessed by God. Now that I've said it, watch. And when you start to feel or start to think about sinful things, put a pin in it and say, is that going to bless me, or is that going to cause more distraction and cause me to veer away from the blessed path that God has for me? And then you start to analyze that and break that down. You become very logical around that. And I guarantee you, that spirit man will want to rise up and start to answer, give you provision for answers for that. And then Ephesians tells us this. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, as wise. Redeeming the time. I want you to focus on redeeming the time because the days are evil. And let me just tell you, the days are evil. There's chaos everywhere. But let's focus on redeeming the time. There's two things to redeeming the time. We can redeem the time current, but I'm going to first mention redeeming the time past. Because many of us don't redeem the time current because we're living in such a state of guilt, shame, and personal condemnation over things of the past. Can I tell you that you have already been forgiven of the things of the past if you were in Christ Jesus? Can I tell you, you are continually walking in forgiveness of the things of the past that you've done and your old self, your old man, your old nature, and all those things prior? Can I just tell you that if you feel that you haven't been forgiven, to go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, and he says immediately you are forgiven, and he chooses to remember your sins as far as the east are from the west. So therefore, I need to settle those things with the Lord and walk forward. Here's what's going to happen when you actually start to follow the Lord and you start to follow the spiritual journey that I laid out before you. You will see that God is actually going to use the things of your past that you have been healed from, that you have been forgiven from, in order to be a blessing to those who are actually struggling with those things from your past. you are actually the most qualified person to help others who are going through those things because you have finally received forgiveness, begun to walk in forgiveness, let go of the shame and the condemnation of the past, and your religious chains will actually fall off of you in Christ, and then you will realize how adequate you are to help the people going through the things that you once struggled with. And anything in between is a robbing of the enemy from the things of God to keep you from walking in the fullness that God's created you to walk in. He didn't ask you to do those things that you're shameful, you're in shame of or guilt for. He didn't invite you to do those things, but he sure will redeem the times of those things. And that's how you redeem that time. There's another thing of redeeming the time. Redeeming the time is being a kingdom builder, one who is focused on advancing God's kingdom and saying, this time is evil, but I'm going to redeem it with the blood of Jesus. I'm going to redeem it with expanding the kingdom. I'm going to redeem it because while you're perverting this world, I'm going to bring the presence of God into it. That's how we redeem the time, Max. Redeeming it. Time is meant to be invested in what is eternal. Colossians tells us to set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. My times are in your hands should be the heart of everything that we think and do. First things first, when it comes to spending time with God, spending time weekly, daily, in the first of your day. Some of us like in the evening, that's great. Let's just consider that the Jewish calendar, the Jewish day, where you're starting the next day the night before, which is a good basic principle as well. But eternal investments start to become priority. Time with God, time with people, time in obedience, time building out what advances others' lives. Time investing into others. This is kingdom building. Remember We always read this, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The closer we get to God, the more we become concerned for his kingdom, the more we have a concern for others and their well-being, the blessings on their life in many realms. And now we become an answer for them. But in first things first, we have to consider, what are we architecting? How am I going to architect my calendar this year? And you may not know. And that's a great place to start because that's when we go to the Lord. We spend time with him. As a spiritual discipline and practice, we get in daily devotion with him. We start to fast what he's putting on our hearts to fast. Maybe it's distractions. Maybe it's a certain foods. Maybe it's food in general. Maybe it's ways of thinking. Maybe it's taking every thought captive by a fast. I'm going to start to not think from lack. I'm going to start not thinking from poverty. I'm going to stop thinking of I can't and understand that in God I can. I'm going to stop some of these things. I'm going to stop the distract. I'm going to stop whatever it is. You know. You already, in this process, the Lord is already welling it up inside of you. But here's the key. Don't do it alone. You have a community of people, and oh, maybe that's something. If I can't get involved in a community, then what's wrong with me? Do I have a spirit of independence? Do I have a fear of getting close to people because it hurts whenever I get close to people? Do I have a fear because whenever every time I do, I get hurt? Or they're going to talk about me? Or they're going to reject me? Do I have some rejection? Maybe there's some things that we need to focus on and why we can't get involved in community. Whatever it is. Putting first things first. Putting time with God first. He will start to speak to you. He will start to address those things. He will start to massage it out. And listen, if you won't cause yourself to get distracted with screen swiping and busyness and going out and working in the yard rather than listening to the Lord. I see a lot of faces over here. I can see it. The Lord's just speaking. You know what's next. So how about this 21 days? We really get focused. How about this year in 2026? We start walking out the spiritual journey that God has laid out through Scripture. And even when it hurts, and even when I don't understand, and even when it doesn't seem it seems illogical, I do it anyway as an act of faith, as a profession that you are first, and I start to put first things first. What if for 1 year you started to do things that were a little bit challenging, a little bit sacrificial, a little bit out of your control, a little bit illogical, a little bit strange, a little bit weird, like those Jesus people? What if you started to do it anyway in spite of what was going on in here and in here until this in here and this here started to align with him up there? So can you stand up? Let's just take this to the Lord. And what I'm asking is that you ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to fast? What is it that you want me to give up? What do you want my calendar to look like in 2026? Sorry, I'm messing up your screen trying to get back. What does 2026 need to look like? Where do I need time for God? Where do I need time for family? Where do I need time for friends? Where do I need time for calling or work? Because let me just tell you, your work may just be, and most likely is, your calling. And in that space, we should be advancing the kingdom of God. Wherever God has placed you, maybe it's become dry and it's become mundane. It's become unfruitful feeling and not giving life. Well, maybe it's because the way you're doing it and why you're doing it is for the wrong purposes. Instead of focusing on the what, focus on the why of what you're doing. When you're building out your calendar, rather than what, why am I going to do this year? Why am I going to put this in place? For what purpose? What is it going to produce? If I do that, what am I looking for that to produce for the kingdom of God? What if you started shifting your thinking? I'm inviting you into a reality that I can already see in the future, and that I'm hoping that you'll grab a hold of, start walking it out by faith with God, first things first, putting into practice disciplines that are a little bit soulish uncomfortable so that you can see the outcome that I promise you I can see for your lives, for your families, for this community, for this church, for the kingdom of God most importantly, because that's why you and I exist. So Holy Spirit, I just ask right now that you begin to speak into, that you affirm, that you heal, that you show forgiveness, that you show a different reality. Lord, I pray that you shape perspective, that you start to instill a passion and a burden even to walk out the spiritual disciplines that you have for your church, for your body. Lord, only you know what it requires to clean up your bride. And Holy Spirit, I ask that every individual body part of your bride, of your church, begins to respond to heaven, begins to set our minds on things above rather than on earthly things and things that are in our own hearts that are far from you. So Holy Spirit, this year, I pray that you are honored, that you are exalted, that your ways become a manifest reality for every individual. I pray that even when it doesn't make sense, your people start to follow your voice. They start to hear you acutely. They start to tune in every day, every morning, in every situation, through every meeting, through every board meeting, through every work decision, through every business decision, through every circumstance, that it is to advance your kingdom, your priorities, and what's in your heart to bring into fruition as creative and add creative value to this world that you've called us to take dominion of and steward so well. We just pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, worship team.